Noah and Kate, Chapter 20. Noah waited outside the restaurant, which was so confidently chic it didn't even have a name on the door. At least it had windows. Lots of them. Confidently chic people in nice clothes sat at tables with white tablecloths and wine glasses, as waitstaff in crisp white shirts and black trousers discreetly offered refills from carafes of water. He could practically hear the violin music and the elegant clinking of silverware on bone china plates. Whoever this guy was, he had expensive taste. And he wondered idly, as he leaned against his bike and waited for Kate to arrive, if she had expensive taste too. He realized he didn't know. She didn't act like a snob. She drank swamp water voluntarily, drove a mini, and lived in a ramshackle cottage stuck in 1976, after all. But maybe she had higher aspirations. Maybe this kind of place was more her speed, and the kind of guy who would take her here was her kind of man. The exact opposite of himself, in other words. He didn't think he could find a tie in his apartment if his life depended on it. It was entirely possible he didn't even own one. He had no idea which fork to use when eating creme brulee, and if a waiter offered him a wine cork to sniff, he'd have to fake it and declare it absolutely fine. And he was okay with this. Whether Kate was, though. The only insight he had into her hopes and dreams came from a source he had no right to possess. From so long ago that she'd been little more than a kid. He reached into his bike bag and withdrew her diary. He hadn't looked at it in ages, and it felt strange in his hands. Heavier, somehow, though he knew that was just his imagination playing tricks. He would put it back in the cabin tonight, he promised himself. After he made sure she was okay, he'd make it his first stop. In fact, he should have swung by there before he headed down here and tucked it back beneath the bunk bed. He wasn't sure why he hadn't, or why he was turning it over in his hands now. He held it for a minute, thinking of her scribbling her thoughts down in it all those years ago, pouring her teenage heart into it, telling it her secrets. The guilt was like a familiar friend to him now, tapping him on the shoulder with a stern look. But he couldn't stop. He flipped slowly through the pages, his eyes skimming over the words, and focusing instead on the ink-covered pages, the doodles and drawings in the margins. He hadn't intended to read anything, but his eyes quickly took in familiar names, and before he knew it, he was back in Kate's teenage world again. Lily Graham told me she did it with Paul Lamb. I can't believe she went all the way with him. She told me she didn't even really like him that much. I asked her how she could do it with a guy she didn't love, and she said she wanted to try it, and he was as good as anyone, especially since he's older and has been with other girls, so he would know what to do. I could never do that. Do it with a guy I didn't love? That would be so gross. She said it was nothing special, that it hurt and it was messy. And Paul left right afterwards. She said he just sort of stuffed it into her. Her words. And that she didn't have an O. Noah smiled. An O. Couldn't even bring herself to write the word orgasm back then. It was so charmingly naive. So sweetly adolescent. He felt the grin spread across his face. Thinking of how he'd given her a couple of O's. Unlike Lily's supposed Lothario, Paul Lamb. Paige said when she... Nope, not going to read about his sister and anything to do with sex. No, thank you. He flipped quickly to another page, promising himself he wouldn't read anything more. The diary opened to a passage he'd read before. The passage. The one that felt like the little swirly blue words were actually boring a hole right through him. His eyes snagged on the words and he couldn't help but read them. And he'd tell me in between kisses that he's loved me for a long time, but he was just too scared to say it. But now he knows I love him too, it's okay. And so he lifts his head up and shouts out to the night sky, I love Katie May. And I giggle and laugh and I shout out, I love Noah James. And we both laugh and kiss and make out some more. He closed the diary firmly. He put it back in his bike bag and checked his watch. Maybe he had time to go up to the cabin now, but the damn thing back and be back down here before she arrived. All this indecision and ambivalence didn't sit well with him. He was used to making the right decision quickly, running through problems algorithmically in his head, usually while trying to find a vein in a flailing patient or battling a furious junkie who'd had their high ruined with a shot of Narcan. He wasn't used to not knowing what to do, or more importantly, how to feel about it. Most of all, he had no idea how to tell her about Global Medic. It was going to be awkward, maybe even uncomfortable, and he had no idea how she was going to react. He ran through possible scenarios in his head, imagining what he was going to say and what she'd say back, and what it would mean for them. And then he saw her. Across the street, stepping from a cab in front of the restaurant, her hair long and flowing, wearing an elegant black dress that hugged her curves in all the right places. She looked a little flushed, and his heart went out to her as her fumbling hands dropped her little clutch purse, and she had to bend discreetly to the side, because of the dress, he figured, to retrieve it. When the cab left, she straightened up and her gaze drifted around. His stomach twisted when he realized she was looking for him. Her beautiful eyes were scanning the street for him. Their eyes met and her face lit up with a beautiful smile. He raised his hand in a casual wave, even though his heart was pounding like a jackhammer. She gave a little, "here goes nothing," shrug, and went inside.
"Good evening, miss. Do you have a reservation?"
The maitre d' looked a bit like Hercule Poirot, Kate noticed, which suited this upscale place. He stood beside his little lectern and blinked at her placidly, his smile fixed in genteel anticipation of her answer. "I'm meeting someone named Adam," she said, and glanced at her watch. "I might be a bit early." His eyes dropped to the reservation list on the lectern, and he ran a finger down the list until he stopped at a name. He looked up and smiled.
"Right this way."
He led her through the sea of tables with effortless grace, and her nervousness grew with every one they passed by. It was like getting to the gate at the airport, she thought, wondering how big this place could possibly be. At last, he slowed as he approached a table near the farthest corner, and with a grand flourish, she stepped aside.
"There you are, miss. Your server will be with you momentarily."
The man at the table rose, a bright smile on his face. His smile quickly fell, and so did hers. Lloyd McGill. She stood frozen to the spot, staring at him, her stomach settling somewhere around her ankles. He seemed stunned as well, but attempted to recover quickly. His face flushed and he stammered his thanks to the maitre d', who gave them both a raised eyebrow, but tactfully withdrew.
"This can't be happening," she thought. "This must be some sort of nightmare. I'm actually asleep right now at the cabin. Any minute now I'll wake up and this will all be some figment of my..."
"Well, this is awkward," Lloyd finally said, on a gust of breath.
"Lloyd?"
She knew very well who he was. She just needed to say it out loud. Probably too loud. He looked around at the faces of the other diners, now turned to them in curiosity, and gestured to her chair.
"Sit down, Kate,"
he encouraged her, resuming his own seat. His smile wasn't just forced, it looked positively constipated. For a moment, she couldn't move. Her legs wouldn't obey her command. Her feet dug themselves in and would go no farther. She stared at him, still not quite sure this wasn't all some kind of awful dream.
"Please, Kate," he said, looking around nervously. "Sit down for a minute. Come on. Don't make a scene."
His voice and mannerisms were so familiar, she was instantly thrown back to all the times they spent at the office, joking around on their coffee break, laughing over some ridiculous YouTube video. She'd liked him so much back then. He'd made going to work a little less boring. She missed that kind of camaraderie. In a lot of ways, she missed him. But the pang of nostalgia that came from seeing him here also came with a right hook to her gut. She sat down, still staring.
"It's nice to see you," he offered.
He cleared his throat and took a hearty gulp from his tumbler of water.
"What is going on?"
she finally asked, and was surprised at how evenly her voice came out. "What are you doing here?"
"I... well... I..."
He faltered, He colored.
Same as you, I guess.
They said your name was Adam, she said. It wasn't a question exactly, but it was clear she expected an explanation.
That's my middle name, he said. I use it now. I never liked Lloyd very much.
And she tried to process what was going on, still couldn't quite do it.
They didn't tell you my name?
Only your first name. He looked down at his silverware, straightened the fork so it aligned with the knife.
There are lots of people named Kate.
Wait, wait. She shook her head. Only now, fully realizing how they had been matched up. You are on marriageminded.com? His color deepened. A full-on flush now, like he'd already been hitting the sauce.
Yeah, obviously. What a coincidence, huh?
A waiter appeared, a man who clearly needed to hone his observation skills, or his tact, and asked if they'd like to order a drink before dinner. Lloyd turned his face up to him with a strained smile.
Whiskey sour, he said. Make it a double.
And for the lady? The waiter turned to Kate. Nothing for me. I'm not staying, she said tightly. Very good. The waiter nodded at them both and left.
Look, Kate, I know this is awkward, Lloyd began, but why don't you stay and we'll have a meal and talk? What do you say?
Too bad you didn't feel that way before, she snapped, her anger beginning to rise past the initial shock at seeing him. I would have been very happy to have a meal and talk, but you had other things to do.
Look, I'm sorry, okay? He said, without a trace of regret in his voice. I know I bailed on you, but I wasn't in a good place that night.
I'm sorry. She lowered her chin and looked at him. He never called or texted, not even when I didn't show up at work. I left the city completely and moved here. You didn't even notice.
What do you want me to say?
He leaned forward, his voice lowered to a hissy whisper.
I'm trying to be a gentleman here, okay? It was a one-night stand, and we both knew it. You don't need to make it sound like I left you at the altar.
A one-night stand? Maybe you thought it was, but I certainly didn't. He huffed. He sat back and crossed his arms over his chest, his eyes sparkling with a hint of menace. He was debating whether to say something. She could see the indecision in his expression. What? She demanded. You don't believe me? We had been getting friendly for months. I thought we really liked each other. I thought we might get serious. He leaned in again and lowered his voice.
You could have fooled me.
The gleam in his eye made her stomach lurch. Suddenly, she knew what he was talking about, and it made her feel hollow inside.
Excuse me?
She asked, her voice low, but low in that threatening, consider your next words carefully kind of way. He shrugged and looked around before leaning even closer. You fucked me on your couch on the first date. Not exactly long-term relationship behavior now, is it? Her fingers clenched around the glass of water in front of her, and the urge to splash it on his face was almost overwhelming. She glared at him, tried to slow her breathing. How dare you? She whispered. How dare you? He sat back, holding his hands up.
I'm just saying, Kate, I'm sorry, but it's true. I didn't think you wanted a serious relationship, or you wouldn't have done that. At least not on the first date.
A hot flush of shame slid through her, and she felt the weight of a few thousand years of the sexual double standard crushing down on her. There was no use in protesting that he had been right there with her, pushing, cajoling, seducing. There was no point reminding him that if she'd fucked him on the first date, then he'd fucked her on the first date, too. Beliefs like his were etched deep in the bone. There was one rule for men and a different one for women, and that was that. Men expect more from us. Her mother's voice echoed in her head. It hadn't been so much a nugget of life advice as a bitter memory uttered through curls of cigarette smoke. They get to be dogs, but we're expected to be saints. So, don't lie down with dogs, honey, or as they say, you'll get up with fleas. I'm leaving, she said, her voice a little unsteady. Her hands trembled as she tried to unbutton the clasp on her purse to retrieve her phone. He sighed heavily.
Suit yourself. It's not like this was going to happen anyway.
She paused, her fingers stilling on her purse. She appraised him, saying nothing. The waiter appeared with his drink and Lloyd took it from him before he could even put it down on the table.
"I want to ask you something before I go," she said, "and I want the truth."
He shrugged and took a healthy swig. "Fine."
"Are you really looking to get married? Is that why you're on this site? To find a wife?"
He looked surprised at her question, as if he'd been expecting some nasty insult disguised as a question. "Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm ready to settle down, so I thought I'd give the site a try."
The next part was hard to even say, but she really wanted to know. "So, was it just the fact that I was too easy?" she asked, her throat so tight it hurt. "Is that the only reason you didn't want to see me anymore?"
His expression actually softened, which surprised her. He blinked a couple of times, looking down as he rotated his whiskey glass with his thumb and forefinger.
"I hope I never have to see you again, so go ahead, be honest," she said, hating the bitterness in her voice.
In that moment, she sounded exactly like her mom.
"If I'd been a chaste little virgin, would you have wanted to date me?"
"Kate,
I'm serious. I want to know," she said.
Tears threatened, but she willed them away, lifting her chin so she could at least look proud, even if she didn't feel it.
"Because I really don't get it. You and I were good friends at work. I thought we were very compatible. And you evidently thought I was attractive enough to have sex with. So I'd like to know. Would you have called me again if we hadn't had sex?"
He sighed again, and his lips thinned.
"No, I don't think so."
She swallowed.
"Okay. Can I ask why?"
He shifted in his seat.
"Come on. You know attraction is hard to define. You were attracted,"
she corrected him, maybe too harshly. A woman at the next table looked over, startled and affronted, as if shaming Kate for being brassy in a place with such nice tablecloths.
"We both were, so don't try to tell me it was about attraction. I want to know what the real problem was."
He straightened up a little, took another drink. A different kind of gleam came into his eyes.
"You're different now, you know,"
he finally said.
"What do you mean?"
She almost said, "What the fuck are you talking about?" but thought better of it. This really was a classy place.
"This," he gestured towards her with his whiskey glass. "I've never seen this side of you."
"What side of me?" she demanded.
He gave a short laugh.
This ballsy side of you. This, I don't know, feistiness. You aren't like this before."
"I don't know what you're talking about,"
she muttered, reaching for her bag. "I'm the same as I ever was."
"Then you kept it well hidden till now."
She glared at him and felt her brow furrowing.
"Is that the reason? You thought I wasn't ballsy enough?"
"No, not that."
He shook his head. "Jeez, what's the word I'm looking for?
Passive. You were too passive."
"Passive?"
she said, too loudly, and then lowered her voice before the woman could glare at her again.
"You mean boring?"
"No, not boring," he replied. "It was like..."
His eyes roamed the ceiling as he thought, coming back down to meet hers as he found the words.
"You just let things happen to you. And when they did, you just sort of..."
He searched his inner thesaurus again.
"Observed it all. Like things weren't happening to you. They were happening around you, and you were just a spectator."
"A spectator?"
she asked, incredulous.
"Above it all," he went on, picking up steam now. "Sort of aloof, you know? Like nothing ever really gets to you. You watch things happening to you, but they don't affect you."
"Of course things affect me," she protested.
The lump in her throat was starting to grow, hard and smooth like a beach rock had lodged in there.
"What a ridiculous thing to say." "Look, I never even knew you liked me," Lloyd said. "In all the time we knew each other, all the months you said we were good friends, I couldn't tell if you actually liked me or were just putting up with me because we were forced together at work. When I asked you out, I really didn't know if you'd say yes."
She blinked,
That just couldn't be possible. None of this was possible. This had to be some sort of bizarre dream. Please, let it be a bizarre dream. When Corinne got that promotion you were supposed to get, you just shrugged and went back to work. And remember that one lunch when Randy was telling you about the new department he wanted you to head up? You didn't say a word the whole time. You just took everything in with this detached kind of Mona Lisa smile. He told me later he offered it to someone else because you didn't seem excited about it. You don't know anything about me, she said, angry tears beginning to well in her eyes. I hated that job. I hated that company. I wanted to leave for years, but only found the courage after... She stopped abruptly. She didn't want to tell him he had been part of the reason she'd finally quit. I'm glad you left, he said. When Corinne told me you'd left to work on your little seed business, I was actually happy for you. I mean it. Good for you. It's not a little seed business. It's my career now, she said. And I don't need a pat on the head, especially from you. See? He said, gesturing with his whiskey glass. You're much feistier now, like I said. Looks good on you. She wanted to show him feisty, all right. She wanted to reach out and tip up the bottom of his glass so the whiskey spilled all over him. But she restrained herself. Thanks for your honesty, she said tightly, even if you're full of shit. He snorted a laugh and shook his head. Then he smiled, and she could see a thought forming in his mind. Look, I'm sorry things didn't work out with us, he said. We're both obviously looking for something permanent with more compatible people. But in the meantime, he trailed off meaningfully, lifting his eyebrows at her. Are you asking me? She too trailed off meaningfully, only she meant to convey disbelief. He shrugged, his face suffusing with pinkish delight. I'm game if you are. I mean... He lowered his voice and his eyebrows, trying to look sexy. You do have the best tits I've ever seen. She stood up. I already have an in the meantime, and he's 1,000 times the man you are. Goodbye, Lloyd. He huffed out a laugh again and drained his glass. Slut, he muttered under his breath. Her face burned as she wove her way through the tables, anger making her hands tremble and her legs feel like rubber. She passed by the astonished maitre d' without a word and fumbled with the door, pushing when she should have pulled, hoping, for some reason she didn't even know why, that Lloyd couldn't see her making such an inelegant exit. She emerged out onto the sidewalk. Across the street, Noah was leaning against his bike, arms crossed, his head turned away. His gaze drifted back casually towards the restaurant, and he saw her. His mouth dropped open in surprise, and she finally let the tears come.